This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Umar Paganampakepangan alongside Ian McNally. Future World is a brand new film from James Franco and Bruce Theory Chung. It's written, well, written's a loose word, but written by Bruce Theory Chung, Jeremy Craig Chung, and Jay Davis. Writing feels like a stretch. The movie feels like the three of them actually came across the scribblings of a 15-year-old kid who just watched Mad Max and decided to copy it down into a screenplay.
It shows about as much imagination as the actual title of the film.
There is absolutely nothing redemptive about this movie. I wanted to leave four times and I stuck it through. You know why I stuck it through? Because I thought to myself, Ian McNally sat through this whole movie. I'm going to do the same and because I owe it to him.
And I didn't warn you about it.
He didn't warn me about it. The movie stars James Franco, Mila Jovovich, Snoop Dogg,
Method Man,
Lucy Liu, Suki Waterhouse, and Jeffrey Wahlberg, who is the nephew of Mark Wahlberg, who kind of proves that lightning never strikes twice. Yes, I'm talking about Donnie.
Rumor Willis is in this somewhere.
For about a second and a half.
I didn't even see her.
Oh, I saw her. For about a second and a half, she is the prostitute character who gets told off by Snoop Dogg and electrocuted.
Oh, this is in Love Lord's place, because the writers of this movie could not be bothered to come up with names for some of their lead characters.
Oh, actually for all of them. There's Queen, Prince, Warlord, Love Lord,
Drug Lord,
and Tattooed Face.
Yeah.
Because he's got a tattoo on his face.
This movie is about nothing.
And there is a moment where Mila Jovovich's character meets Jeffrey Wahlberg, who is the aforementioned Prince, makes a joke about his name. And I'm like, how do you make a joke about his name when you are called Drug Lord?
Then she goes on to talk about, I would love to see a flower or a tree, but everything here is dead. And
there's a tree in the background. There's a tree in the background. Sure, it's out of focus, but there is a tree in the background.
It looks like the worst trip to Burning Man ever. It's just, there's this whole setup of like androids are supposed to be like, they were our digital saviors and then the war came and everything's Mad Maxy now. But the android in this is about as useful as a hammer. Like, she doesn't do anything.
When the movie starts, there is a line at which point I completely checked out. She goes, artificial intelligence became the new religion.
Yeah.
Whenever someone makes these random bold claims at the beginning of a film that mean nothing, I immediately check out.
And then it kind of says that she was forced to work for warlords already. And then it says delete memory as if it's already happened.
Yeah, but that's different because those were human warlords, but James Franco's characters just called Warlord.
Yeah. No, I mean, I thought that like she had already wiped her memory for once before. No, she's a fresh android after.
Apparently
she's got the worst contacts, like David Bowie contacts ever. Like, there's just everything about this movie except maybe the cinematography at dusk is lazy.
Were you trying to find something redemptive?
No, I mean, like, they shoot into the sun a lot, and it looks kind of nice wherever the hell it is. It's like,
but that's about it.
That's about it. The plot is nothing. The android decides to turn against her master for no reason. It's like, she says, and that's when I knew I was different. It's like when you were riding a motorbike.
She's riding a motorbike, and she goes, the warlord will go to Oasis, and he rapes and kills everyone in the past tense.
She says, I didn't notice that. I was on track.
And then suddenly, it's not he would do it. It's like he does it, but he hasn't actually gone there or done it.
Mm.
And then she turns on him. There is no coherence to the script. There is no coherence to the plot. There are moments when the camera will be following a character. The character will run off to the left. And the camera would just stop in an empty space and wait there for a couple of seconds for absolutely no reason. It's like the cinematographer lost his footing.
There's some speeded up, slowy down bits as well during fight scenes, which are incredibly badly choreographed as well. Like, the camera loves following James Franco's stunt double around buildings, stabbing people. Which is...
This movie is a soiled diaper that has been left at the bottom of a pile of soiled diapers for a week.
I don't understand why James Franco has a co-directing credit on this. Like, oh, he directed the Disaster Artist.
No,
like,
I
he
know
can
why.
Direct things.
I know why. Because Bruce Terry Cheung needed a name to attach to it so he could get funding.
But why did anyone fund it? I mean, it's all the Mad Max movies are about something.
Yes.
They have, like, there's more going on than just people mucking around the desert. This is just people mucking around the desert. Like, nothing is thought through at all. Like, they have loads of drugs, but yet it's been so long since the war, no one's seen a working gun in years. It's like, well, the drugs would have run out a long time ago, dude.
Build on that, right? The fact that no one has guns, right? So the one person who has a gun should be the most powerful character or something they all seek.
Yeah, or
it's
use the android for something more than punching people in the face.
I'm really hoping that James Franco actually directed this movie before all of the revelations about his sexual misconduct, because there is a whole bunch of weirdness and creepiness in this film around his character, which would not play well post those allegations, right? It was awful just watching him on screen do those things.
With his nasty dental insert thingy? It's gross.
I mean,
the whole movie is just a load of stupid characters doing stupid things for stupid reasons.
I stepped out of the cinema and I said I wanted to set James Franco on fire and then save him, nurse him back to health, and then set him on fire again just to watch him burn.
Yeah, anyone involved in this film should be ashamed.
This movie is what happens when James Franco and a bunch of movie bros get together and say, hey guys, let's make a movie.
Maybe it's like they're trying to cover, like they just took money from a studio, had a 6-month long party, and then had to throw something together at the end, and this is what they did with their mates?
It feels like it, because I was going to compare it to a student film, but even student films are better structured than this.
Yeah.
There are random moments, and I don't know if this is part of the disaster of editing, where suddenly there is a major plot point that comes out of nowhere. The android will fall in love, and you have no idea where this came from. She just suddenly goes, hey, you know what? You're everything I've wanted. I love you now.
Yeah, the end of the first act kind of takes place in a brothel, so some of that is edited for sexy times. And it's very jarring as well, so you don't know what you're missing there as well, but I'm guessing it's not a lot.
It's not a lot. It's not a lot at all.
This movie, the post-credits sting on this movie is better than the rest of the movie.
Yes.
It's where the android just comes in and just like beats up on Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg is just Snoop Dogg, so I mean, you can't go wrong with Snoop Dogg.
But Snoop Dogg is Snoop Dogg in every single movie.
Yeah.
He plays the same character.
Exactly.
He's a drugged out pimp.
Yeah.
Right? And that's exactly
so
what
he is.
So
why isn't
in this
he
film.
Playing the drug lord and the love lord? Why is Mila Jovovich here at all? Her
oh,
whole
you
thing-
know why? Because this movie has the exact structure of every single Resident Evil movie. It starts off with a VO narration about the state of the world, and then it ends off with an android or something riding off on a motorcycle somewhere.
That's pretty much, yeah, that
it
checks
is
out.
Every single Resident Evil movie. Only it's a Mila Jovovich surrogate.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
This is what happened after Resident Evil, the final chapter, which wasn't the final chapter.
My cinema was full. And you
really?
Know why? You know why? Let me tell you why. It was a public holiday. It was an evening screening and it was full. And that is some cunning timing, let me tell you. Because you've seen Deadpool 2, you've seen Solo, there is nothing else to watch, and you see a poster with James Franco on it in what looks like freaking Mad Max.
Yeah.
People are going to watch it. Literally only the front two rows were empty.
Wow.
Of course, people started chuckling very, very early into the film.
Same in my screening.
But
not at the film.
They still paid for tickets.
Yeah.
No, this is an absolute travesty.
It's irredeemable. There's no point watching this. I mean, you're better off actually watching some of the direct-to-video 80s sci-fi movies like Cyborg, those kind of, you know, the really kind of trashy kind of post-apocalyptic ones. Robot Jocks. Go watch Robot Jocks.
Go watch Robot Jocks. That's a lot of fun. But you know what? No, here's the thing, right? It feels like the movie was made by people who'd only ever seen B-movies. Mm. So when you make that copy, it becomes a pale copy. You know, Mad Max, the first Mad Max was everything a B-movie should be.
Yeah.
Right? But it had a point. It had a story, and it had...
There's like, it's an onion. There's layers.
Exactly.
This has no layers. There's nothing beyond the surface. It has pretension and kind of ideas above its station that it's like, it thinks it's about something. There's a voiceover at the end. It's like, oh, we have to go tell people what we've learned. What we learned? Don't give Franco money. Without strings attached.
And when you have a sopping wet sack as a protagonist,
yeah,
this Jeffrey Wahlberg guy who has absolutely no charisma at all, there is a fight scene in between where we're expected to believe that somehow he can take on this 7-foot monster.
Now, that's when they're ripping off Mad Max 3 Beyond the Thunderdome with Master Blaster, essentially.
Only this one's a low budget set in a swimming pool.
Yeah,
and there is no way. There is nothing in this hero's journey that leads you to believe that he can actually win this fight.
Yeah. And the only winner of this flight is Lucy Liu, because she's in it so less and she got to stay in bed the whole time.
How much did they pay her?
I don't know. But it also means, like, are these stars just, like, in there entering their twilight? Like, maybe the script was something completely different. Maybe this is like a back-end deal of everything else that fell through. I don't understand.
That's the only reason I think the distributors got this movie.
Hmm.
Like, I think it was a, hey, this look is at a this cast. If you want this and this, if you want Sicario 2,
yeah,
then you have to take Future World.
And no, you can't preview it before we sell it to you.
Actually, they didn't even preview it to any critics in the US.
Oh, really?
Why?
Yeah. Right?
The movie is everything that other people think science fiction is. Like,
yeah,
people who don't acknowledge the value of science fiction, it's because of movies like this. They watch something like this and they go,
all science fiction is trash.
Whatever, right? Exactly. Yeah. It's this and that other Osiris Child movie we watched last year.
That was better than this.
That was better than
this. And that was awful.
Yeah. No, don't watch Future World. It's currently in cinemas. I'm hoping it doesn't stay for very long. But if you were one of these unfortunate people who thought, hey, James Franco in Mad Max,
yeah,
I've seen Deadpool 2 and Solo, let me go try this one out. Let us know what you think of the movie. I'm on at Umar Fagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.